one of the things that we dug up is there's more than 300 former top military people who are on the payrolls as lobbyists or board members or corporate officials of defense contractors and related companies. And so this is the picture you're beginning to get, a grouping which could be called the military-industrial complex, which wants to keep the United States in these wars. And they're the ones who are now talking about whether or not it might be necessary to remove the president in what would be a military coup. So
and basically shut off every means of communication. This is laid out in this 2017 article that I mentioned at first. That's why it is so vital that at this stage, while we still have a little bit of time, we communicate while we still have a means of communication, and we let people know, okay, this is not an unthinkable scenario. This is not necessarily an unlikely scenario. And that way we get word to the military that, hey, something may be up and you better watch out for the receipt of illegal orders that
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with flaxseed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have a Colonel Black and I have Harley Schlanger coming to the program. I really wanted to discuss the military coup that Colonel Black, ex-Senator Black, discussed in the It was a sponsored conference that was put on by the Schiller Institute and the LaRoche PAC that Colonel Black talked about the military coup, and he got into details and names and what was going on and how it was planned, and he does that here as well. And with Harley Schlanger also giving context about what is going on. And I think this is a very important conversation that I have, one of the most important conversations that I've had and ever. And I think it's important that people listen to this whole thing from beginning to end. It's very long. I'm going to do it in two parts because people don't get all the notifications if I don't do it in two parts. So if you only watch the first half, please watch the second. And if you're watching the second, watch the first. Watch the entire thing. There are lots of things said throughout this whole interview and conversation. I want to say it's more of a conversation, especially the second half, more of an interview the first half. And as people who watch my show, they know that I talk a lot too. I spend a lot of time researching and talking and having conversations with people. So I have a lot of things I want to push back on and questions that I have. This is a more intelligent dialogue that we do not get from the mainstream media and that we really need to be having as American people and people around the world. You need to have these more intelligent dialogues. You push back, you get answers, you ask questions, you go from all these different angles. We'll never learn together and we'll never become informed unless we have these more intelligent dialogues. The most important thing here is that the military in the United States understands that there's a military coup that is being planned and what they need to do to prepare to make sure they do not commit treason themselves or follow illegal actions that have been put forward by people in leadership positions in the military, not all of them, but also ex-military who have no business, and it's illegal for them to be doing this. And it's important that the military understands what their role is and what's actually going on. So that's why this is such an important show today. And I want to encourage everyone to please sign up for my newsletter. I do know that there is a planned event to take down all communications in this country. I don't know how much that'll hurt my newsletter, but it will for sure hurt your ability to be able to see anything that I put forward on YouTube or any of the main channels. So my newsletter is definitely a better way to be able to communicate with me, and it's not as censored, especially if you are on a private email system. You have a better chance of getting it. Gmail is censoring some of my stuff. You make sure that you're saying that it's not spam. You can sign up for Proton Mail or any private server. Mine comes out of a private server, so that should be safe, but they can censor everything coming out of my server. So that's the problem. And so I just want to thank everybody that supports the show, and whether you're a patron or supporting my affiliates at my shop. So thank you so much for that. I got to make sure I always thank you, because you are what keeps the show going. So let's get into this important conversation, dialogue, interview, whatever you want to call it, with Colonel Black and Harley Schlanger. Hi, Colonel Black and Harley. Welcome back to the program.
It's very good to be here. We're pleased to join you today.
I'm always happy to see you, Sarah.
Well, Harley, your organization, along with the Schiller Institute, hosted Colonel Black, and also he's ex-Senator Colonel Black, and also hosted Kirk Wiebe and Bill Binney. And you did an explosive conference on multiple topics. But what Colonel Black, what you brought up on the military coup, you named names, you gave specifics, was probably one of the most explosive, most important things that I've seen in a while, as far as making it clear as to what's really going on right now. I don't know if we totally get the picture of what's going on, but we start to see actions of what's going on so that people can get an idea. Can you talk about this conference and what the point of it was? And then I, Harley, and then I want to get into what Colonel Black actually brought forward.
Well, very simply, we're in a very dangerous strategic situation where you have what we call the war party, which is above the two parties, but it's controlling the dynamic toward a confrontation with Russia, with China, and at the same time, an attack on President Trump, because the president doesn't want to have war. The president keeps saying he wants to put an end to the endless wars. He wants to bring troops back home and have a dynamic which is pushing toward war. And so we've been fighting for two aspects, which are really one, which is to get a summit, which would include the great powers, President Putin, President Xi Jinping, and President Trump, minimally, to discuss solutions to the strategic problems. And it would probably require a series of summits. But in order to get that, at the same time, you have to expose what's the drive, who's behind the drive to get rid of Donald Trump, and why. A lot of people know that there's a fabricated story of Russiagate, the Ukraine impeachment, and so on. But the question really is, why are they doing this? Because you have a grouping that Colonel Black knows very well, and what he presented at the conference, a grouping which could be called the military-industrial complex, which wants to keep the United States in these wars. And they're the ones who are now talking about whether or not it might be necessary to remove the president in what would be a military coup. So I think that's what Colonel Black addressed. And you're right, Sarah, it was very explosive. And I think, Colonel, you should just summarize your points on this, because it's something that everyone needs to hear.
Yes, Sarah, if I might, let me just give you a little, I fought in Vietnam with the Marines. I was a helicopter pilot, 269 combat missions, came back with bullet holes in the plane four times. I then volunteered to fight on the ground with the 1st Marine Division and was in very fierce combat for months and months. And on the last patrol, I was wounded. Both of my radio men were killed. They died right beside me, trying to rescue a surrounded Marine outpost. I went back to school afterwards. I have an accounting degree, a law degree. I am a lawyer. And but I went back into the Army JAG Corps, the Judge Advocate General's Corps, and held a number of very key positions. And I ended up being the chief of the criminal law division at the Pentagon. And along the way, a couple of things happened that involved me in riot control. I was involved in a very key way in suppressing the 1992 LA riots. So I have a considerable amount of experience there. But I really became concerned when there was this explosion of discussion about the possibility that the military might need to take action against President Trump if he did not leave promptly on January the 20th. Now, it is very possible that there may be some disagreement about who deserves to be president. We've seen this before. We saw it with the Al Gore, George Bush race. And we have mechanisms to resolve those things. Those mechanisms do not include the military, but increasingly the Democrats, who have exerted a great deal of influence over the military and placed their people in positions of power, they're beginning to talk about it. The talk goes back to 2017, where there was an article published in a British publication called The Conversation, and they published an article called Thanking the Unthinkable, Could There Be a Military Coup in the United States? And the article is rather unusual because instead of just speculating back and forth, it actually has basically a plan for a military. It speaks highly of a coup, and it says that in 1958, there was a military revolt in Algeria that resulted in the installation of General Charles de Gaulle, and said that the Fifth Republic never would have been born had it not been for the military uprising. This conversation article said what stands in the way of an American coup are, number one, the ingrained legitimacy of the civilian commander-in-chief. And it said the second obstacle was that we have a rather diffuse military establishment where you've got 50 states with 50 national guard organizations that are subject to the command of their governors. It also pointed out, this is very interesting, it said that the U.S.'s gun control laws mean that potentially leaders of a military coup would have to deal with the problem of a well-armed citizenry, which I think highlights the importance of the Second Amendment. But they then go out and they say, look, they say, in order for this to succeed, it's necessary to deny the public information about what's happening and to deny loyalists the time or ability to act. They go so far as to lay out, they said, it's not going to be enough to secure Washington, D.C. We also have to secure Manhattan and portions of Los Angeles. They're very focused on communications in all of this. And they lay out, they say that the 10th Mountain Division should be used to control Manhattan. The 1st Marine Division, which is near Los Angeles, should be used to control Los Angeles. And they say that the most important thing is to shut down all communications across the continental United States. And they say the United States is extremely vulnerable to cyber attack, and that cyber attacks could be staged to make it look like they're coming from a foreign enemy. And that would give a pretext then to call out military organizations to take to the streets and to seize control. But so this happens in 2017. But just recently, there has been an explosion of talk about a military coup. The Federalist did an article just yesterday, and it's entitled, "The Left is Setting the Stage for a Coup If Trump Wins." And they discussed the Transition Integrity Project, which is funded by George Soros. And it's basically the elite of the elite. About 100 people got together, and they gamed out what would happen under various election scenarios. And one of the scenarios was one where Trump would lose the popular vote but win the Electoral College. This is very likely to happen. I think most analysts would agree that probably Trump will lose the popular election and that he has a very good chance of winning the Electoral College, which is, under the Constitution, the way that we elect presidents. But in any event, under that scenario, John Podesta, who was Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign chairman, he played the role of Biden as the candidate, and his conclusion was the solution was not to concede under any circumstances, and to allege voter suppression, and then persuade the governors of Wisconsin and Michigan to send Biden electors to the Electoral College, basically to, you know, supersede the decision of the people in their states. But in any event, so we're seeing that type of thing. The Washington Post, back in as early as May the 7th, ran a sort of an interesting article that seemed like just sort of public interest. And it was entitled, "Five Myths About Coups." Well, they said, here, myths are, they're only a thing of the past. They only happen in poor nations. They're always violent. They always lead to insanity. They're always bad for democracy. So their conclusion was, they're not a thing of the past. They can happen in rich nations. They're not necessarily violent. They don't necessarily lead to instability. And in fact, they may even be good for democracy.
Oh, geez.
I mean, this is literally what the Washington Post was saying. So we have these very dangerous things that are showing up. Now, you say, well, all of this is idle speculation. Were it not for the fact that we have seen, particularly after President Trump, during these violent uprisings in Washington, D.C., where they burned St. John's Church, he used the National Guard in a very legitimate way to keep the path so that he could go to St. John's, held up a Bible, and he was making several points. First, the government is still in control. We have not yielded to the mob. Secondly, we don't accept the burning of churches. We respect freedom of religion. And anyway, there was just an uproar that was very well staged by very, very senior generals, four-star generals. General Mattis and General Colin Powell really led this group of people. in condemning the president in the harshest possible manner. And at the same time that they condemned the president, they praised the for being mostly peaceful and, you know, having good ideas and this kind of thing. Whereas they should have been condemning the violence in the street and the threat that it poses to the constitutional order and to the lives of innocent people.
What specific military leaders are the names behind all this? It sounds like Soros is funding a lot of this. And what names are you finding that are behind this? I know Podesta was involved. I believe Clinton was involved. It's the same names, but who in the military? And do you think that the military base is supportive of this? But continue if you had more to say before you answer those questions.
Well, of course, Mattis and Colin Powell are probably the top two. However, there are others. Retired Marine General John Allen made some scathing, scathing remarks about the president. Marine General John Kelly made some very negative remarks. Navy Admiral Mike Mullen said, "It sickened me yesterday to see security personnel forcibly and violently clear a path through Lafayette Square." Well, I don't know whether he saw where the violence was, but when you've got mobs,
it's ridiculous.
You've got mobs burning down a church, and yours when the National Guard clears a path for the president, that somehow that's unacceptable violence. You've got Leon Panetta and Chuck Hagel, former defense secretaries for Barack Obama. There was a list of 87 officers and DOD officials who joined in a letter with Leon Panetta and Chuck Hagel. Interestingly, this was in the Washington Post, and when I Google it, and I subscribe to the Washington Post, keep informed, and you click on it and the article doesn't come up. And I think—
Oh, they scrubbed it.
Well, my guess is that it has to do with the fact that there were people saying outrageous things about the president that were unlawful. Now, this is speculation because I haven't been able to see the article yet. Article 88 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice prohibits retired officers from using contemptuous words towards the president. Now, they're free to say, "I disagree with this policy," but when they use words directed at the president personally, if you say, "I think this president is a knothead," I'm a retired officer. If I had said of Bill Clinton, "I think his morals are like an alley cat," those would be contemptuous words directed at the president. They would be of Article 88 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. I think there is a feeling that if enough of them just come out publicly all together, then it'll be just too much for the system to deal with, and they'll get away with it.
Well, that's what they're doing with the riots. They're getting away with all that stuff. Now they're starting to crack down, but that worked.
Well, Sarah, let me, if I may, just interject something here, that when Colonel Black is talking about Jim Mattis, for example, he was quoted supposedly talking to Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, former director of national intelligence, saying that Trump is dangerous and unfit. I think that goes directly to what Colonel Black is saying. And he then added, "There may come a time when we have to take collective action against him." That goes beyond just calling him names. That's basically saying that we have to do something to overthrow him. Who's not quite as prominent, but is very much involved in this, is former General H.R. McMaster, who also served in the Trump administration, who said that Trump's decision to pull troops out of Afghanistan is unwise, and that it's too many concessions to the enemy, the Taliban. And then he said Trump cheapened the lives of Americans who died there. And he also criticized another point that Colonel Black is very familiar with. He criticized the president for wanting to withdraw from Syria. So these are specific cases where they're inciting one. And what I found interesting is that on Labor Day, President Trump reiterated his comments that he wants to end these endless wars. And he said, there are people in the Pentagon who don't like him. And he said, I understand that. The soldiers love me, but the officers, many of them, are supporting these wars. And he didn't quite, then he went on actually to talk about the military-industrial complex. And one of the things that we dug up is there's more than 300 former top military people who are on the payrolls as lobbyists or board members or corporate officials of defense contractors and related companies. And so this is the picture you're beginning to get that Colonel Black pulled together at the conference to literally send out the warning that we'd better pay attention to this because this is very serious.
Well, let me ask you two questions here. They're together. First of all, my understanding through talking to different people who understand how the military works is that the colonels are the ones that pretty much run stuff, and that the generals seem to have more power, but it's the colonels that do. The generals are promoted because of their fluid ethical, they look for people who can bend their ethics. They're not very moral. The colonels who are more ethical, who have more morals, are never promoted. So there's a question on whether you see that as true as well. And if that whole scenario is true, will the colonels who may have more morals and might be more have more integrity as people, are they gonna go along with this?
Well, I think what they would try to do is they would try to create a narrative. Now, the Democrats have total control of broadcast media, 100, almost, you know, 99%+.
And even Fox does, because Fox was just purchased by Disney within about a year ago, and they have been slowly changing out all their people to be, they act like they're balanced, but it's really controlled by the Democrats as well. But keep going.
Yes. And, you know, Fox will, you know, tries to cater to conservatives. But if you look at it, when the key things come down, like coronavirus and Black Lives Matter, they're all in. And it's like it's the 3-minute hate out of 1984, the novel 1984, where people would go and they'd watch the screen and the screen would say, hate, hate, hate. And soon people have the veins bulging in their necks and they're so filled with fury. Well, the idea is that with the military, with these very senior people taking charge and with staging some sort of a false flag, like a cyber attack, then all you would see when you turned on television, all you would hear about is we are under cyber attack by China, Russia, or both of them, and we've got to control the streets. The president, you know, the National Command Center is taking control of all media to make sure that we don't have propaganda coming in, and basically shut off every means of communication. This is laid out in this 2017 article that I mentioned at first. That's why it is so vital that at this stage, while we still have a little bit of time, we communicate while we still have a means of communication, and we let people know, okay, this is not an unthinkable scenario. This is not necessarily an unlikely scenario. And that way we get word to the military that, hey, something may be up and you better watch out for the receipt of illegal orders that send you out to the street based on some sort of a pretextual explanation like a cyber attack.
And on that point, Colonel Black, I'm sure you saw, there was a letter signed by more than 260 officers, I think, who announced their support for President Trump and their concern about this. I think that came out a couple of days of your presentation. So I think what you're saying, and you ended your presentation at the Schiller Institute conference by saying, we have to talk about this to mobilize an opposition to it. And you called on people to go out and discuss it. And I think that was a direct result of your initiative. And of course, we're going to continue that process. I want to mention one other thing politically. I don't know if you saw this, but 2 days ago, Bernie Sanders did an op-ed where he said he thinks it's likely that the president would not give up his office, even if he loses. And he said that this is something that the Democrats have to be prepared for. This is, of course, what Hillary Clinton, Podesta, and others have said. So there's a very direct mobilization on behalf of the Democrats to assume that the polls are accurately reflecting what will happen with the vote. So you don't even need to count the vote. Look at the polls. Well, you know, have they forgotten what the polls said in 2016?
The polls are full of crap.
The Democrats really, what they want to do, and Hillary Clinton has said this, that Biden should not concede under any circumstances. It doesn't matter with sweeping Republican victory. And what they want to use is these ballot stuffing boxes that they have distributed around many states in the country where people can just fill out as many ballots as they want, stuff them in, and the feeling is, look, if you don't win the initial election, you just keep stuffing the ballot boxes until you get up to the appropriate number. And so I think they are setting up for an illicit election followed by, if they can't do it any other way, followed by a military takeover to resolve the issue, rather than having the issue resolved by the interaction of the executive branch, the judicial branch, the Congress. There is no place, there is no hint of anything in the U.S. Constitution that stakes out a role for military force in the decision of elections.
This would be the end of our republic. I mean, if they did that, it would be the end of our republic as we know it.
Yes. If you look at the great Roman Republic, Rome was just a fantastic nation as a republic. And then what happened is the senators in Rome became uneasy with Julius Caesar. And they decided that they were going to take things into their own hands. They murdered Julius Caesar, a famous statement, Etu Brute, you too, Brutus, an ally, a close ally of Julius Caesar, literally stabbed the back in his knife in his back. And then we have the Ides of March. The result of that assassination of Julius Caesar was a tremendous period of instability, and ultimately the senators were thrown out. The public was very disenchanted with them, and then they entered into a period of the Roman Empire with such notables as Nero and Caligula. So I personally fear an Etu Brute moment in the United States. This 2017 article that I mentioned basically talked about the capture of the president and how that must be done and how easy it would be to do it on a public holiday where the president is at Mar-a-Lago, which is easily cut off because it's on a peninsula. The article goes into considerable detail about how this coup should be run. And I think, given the tremendous level of racial hatred that's been spawned by the Democrats working with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, I think what we would be likely to see would be a very violent revolution that would take place in conjunction with any sort of a military takeover. The military would suppress the law-abiding citizens, and the mobs would be free to just run riot and to murder people. One thing I point out to people is that, you know, there was a change in the name that the breakaway part of Seattle used. You know, they basically, you had this area that seceded. I forget what their first name was, but then they changed it to the word CHOP, C-H-O-P. We come up with a name like CHOP. Well, you go to the French Revolution, which is the ultimate example for revolutionaries, where they slaughtered so many people that they invented the guillotine so that they could behead people more rapidly. And I think we'd be very likely to see that type of scenario unfold if we had a military uprising, a coup to overthrow the president. That coup would suppress all of the forces of decency, law, order, and it would leave us with this void to be filled by the most violent and vicious elements of society.
And you've seen this before. Yeah, go ahead, Anna. I want to talk about how you guys have seen this before, so it's not like you're just making this up. Go ahead.
Well, what I want to go back to is this question then of who's behind this and why. We have, besides these military networks, we know that you had a whole group in intelligence from Brennan, Clapper, working together with the Five Eyes, with a Downer from Australia, working with the British intelligence, MI6, the GCHQ. What is the issue? Is the issue that Trump is so bad and that he's going to take over the country and not accept the results of the election? No, they've been trying to get rid of him since he won the election the first time.
They don't care. This has nothing to do with Trump, really. I mean, other than the fact that he's not going along with stuff. But do you tell us why? Because that's the crux of it. People are like, well, this is the problem. If they're really all against him, maybe he is bad. Well, this is why it's hard to end wars. And so please continue.
You have to go back to what happened in 2016. He ran against Hillary Clinton, who is preparing to escalate the wars that Obama had escalated after the wars that Bush started. So you had a continuity between Bush, Obama, and what Hillary would have done. And Trump successfully organized the American people against these wars, both because he said that they're damaging to the country because we're killing our young people, we're spending huge amounts of money, and we're not guaranteeing national security. In fact, we're worsening national security. And Americans responded to that.
Yeah. And we not only have a financial issue, which is destroying our finances because we're spending money on wars. We're not as safe because people hate us. And the mental health of our people, with the suicide rate so high in our military, is devastating our communities. But go ahead.
Well, and so when you think about this, he came in saying he wants to work with President Putin against terrorism. Well, this was directly a challenge that related to what General Flynn had been warning about, that the intelligence community and some of the contractors were working with the terrorists in Syria. And so the president was moving to break completely with the geopolitical doctrines of these endless wars. And he's still trying to do that. Just last week, they announced more troops coming out of Afghanistan, talking about getting troops out of Iraq. That's the issue. Will we be able to move into a new era of peaceful cooperation where we can then take the money that's going into new weapons, and hopefully he can work with Putin to avoid a new nuclear arms race, which would be much more in terms of an astronomical amount of money. Could we then use that for education, for healthcare, for platforms of infrastructure? That's the issue. The people opposing Trump, they're not interested in social justice. They're not interested in ending wars. They're interested in keeping the flow of money going to the few, the oligarchs, the Michael Bloombergs, the Davos billionaires, Hollywood, Silicon Valley.
The few that are supporting the wars, though, right? I mean, because that's their how they're maintaining power. So anybody that would try to break down this endless wars are going to get this pushback that we're seeing. And this pushback is fierce.
Well, let me just mention one other thing that Colonel Black brought up earlier. Washington Post. Remember, Jeff Bezos is not just an Amazon billionaire. He won a contract to do the cloud computing for the CIA. Amazon is part of the military-industrial complex. The widow of Steve Jobs has bought the Atlantic magazine, which ran the story that Trump was denouncing and disrespectful to troops that died in World War I. Lorene Powell Jobs, again, from Apple Computer money, owns Defense One, which ran two of the stories that Colonel Black pointed out of military people saying we need a coup. So we're dealing with an establishment, sometimes called military-industrial complex, the deep state, the permanent bureaucracy. We call it essentially the British Empire, the geopolitical forces that want war. And that's the issue. And I think it's so important that this story get out to preempt anything like that happening.